The Sparking Zero DLC situation is crazy.
No.
But before we get too lost, when are you going to just let it go, bro? Like, why are you just dragging Sparking Zero? Second week in a goddamn row, I sit down at my desk, and you're bringing up Sparking Zero, bro. Why?
Because, I mean, we just got DLC this week, dude.
Oh, true. Actually, never mind. I spoke too soon.
We just got DLC this week. So, you know, I will say, because we just did a podcast talking about it, which is because we got the reveal. So that was the reveal of the characters. And then now we've actually had the characters in our hands. And then we know there is another pack coming. And then I made a Rise and Fall of Sparking Zero, which, by the way, it has to have, like, the pitch of that has to have something to entice you to click. But I am mostly positive about the game. I think the game came out and the game served its purpose. It's a really cool Dragon Ball game you hop into from time to time. I think we've had a discussion many times. It was never meant to be a game that you're on every night for, like, years, right? Like, once you've played the characters, you've used the characters, you've experienced the battle system, like, you kind of come back for cool drops, maybe cool new mode, and then you kind of just, like, it's just kind of, like, repeat, rinse and repeat for a little bit. But, Dotto, what I want to talk about today, not only if we've had the characters, right? So, that's sick. Dude. Can I break the fourth wall for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, dude. What you laughing about?
So I'm requesting a thumbnail.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we like to support artists around here. And I messaged and I need a Vegeta thumbnail. And I'm getting a little creative with this one. So it's going to be a Vegeta with a Thanos gauntlet.
Okay, yeah.
He's snapping.
Pretty creative. Yeah, no. Yeah, I got you.
And the artist just asked, is it the kid Vegeta or the adult Vegeta?
Which one are you going with?
Well, Dotto, do you think there's any world because it's one of those kind of thumbnails, right? So do you think that, like, there are no stonks in the mini versions of these characters to me?
Nah. I mean, you're definitely not getting any views with kid Vegeta. Although, to be fair, with thumbnail framing, it's just going to look like adult Vegeta anyway. So, but to your point, the kids got no sauce, bro. They just don't. You know, in the show, I will say, because I don't want this to sound too two-faced, bro. Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta in the show, in fact, both the Super Saiyan 3s, they maybe, but I'm going to be honest, if you're just comparing them straight up, like, I'm going with the adult every single time. That will forever, and I know it's the building block of Daima, but turning them into kids was just a bad move. It's just a bad move.
So apparently, I didn't see this, and I didn't verify this, but I just heard someone say that in an interview, they made them mini to be a homage to the fans of GT. But I don't know any fans of GT that are fans of GT because of the Goku being a kid part again. The things that people like about GT are when he's an adult again and he's Super Saiyan 4 and he's fusing with Vegeta and he's fighting Baby. And he doesn't go Super Saiyan 4 against 17. But the only time where I think the kid version of Goku has, like, some sauce like that and people care is because he uses Dragon Fist as a kid against Super 17, right? So, like, I don't know, dude. I'm like, how is this a home? How, like, the fans of GT, the things that people like about GT... Our GT had some really, or I think they did anyway, some really good designs for the three main villains. I think Omega, Super 17, and Baby are all really cool designs for villains in Dragon Ball. And people like Super Saiyan 4. That's, like, really it from GT. Am I wrong?
No, I think that's pretty much accurate. GT was always, like, at least in my opinion, and it's gotten a little different. I'm not going to lie. The internet nowadays, I feel like you get points for liking things that aren't, like, super popular. So I feel like GT's gotten more fans because it's been through the ringer. You know, like, same thing that happened with, like, Star Wars and the prequels, I think. Like,
that
eventually...
It is crazy. I don't know. Is this the right way to say revisionist history? But seeing people gas up those prequels when I lived those coming out and people hated them.
It's not even... It's a cycle that is just as old as human as, like, it's just like they come out, people don't like them, so people hate on them, and people go, whoa, hold on now. And then eventually the kids that grew up and watched it are like, I thought it was pretty good when I was two. And then it becomes good. And then everybody has to accept that it's good. This happened in fighting games, where Street Fighter 4 and then every Street Fighter is always hated and then it's liked later. Now I take great offense to this because people always use that saying to defend Street Fighter 5 when no motherfucker, I do not like Street Fighter 5 now. That shit was ass. And it is ass. It stayed ass.
I was just about to literally ask you, and I was like, but I'm just going to sound really stupid to ask this question. I'm not really a Street Fighter guy like that. You know, I played it growing up. But, like, I was like, in my head, I'm like, what was 5? Because I remember 4. I just remember
my cat got to it. There you go. Now, go ahead. Go ahead. I was looking.
Your cat? What's your cat?
Yeah, yeah. They just brushed up against the back of my bike, and every time I think about it, because the comments were like, holy shit. And to be honest, I don't use face games, so I don't see the back of my mic cover, but it was just covered in fucking cat hair.
Got it.
And in fact, I'm just gonna look, see, now it's just nice and clean, nothing to worry about. But go ahead, continue.
Basically, I was gonna say, in my memory, I remember going, we got 4, then we got Super 4, right? You got Super Street Fighter 4, right? Didn't they brought it to PS4 and Xbox One? Because originally it launched on PS3 and 360, right? And then they did a super version before 5 came out. I don't even remember what 5, I'm gonna have to look this up. What was 5's like key art? Because I'm like, I can picture the
key art was like, I don't even remember his fucking name, dude. It's like, he was a cool villain, but he kind of sucked ass in the story.
I remember 5. Never
but
mind.
It's like a big V. It's just the big V. And then, like, they had V Factor and V Trainer.
Ryu's crossing his arms to make a V as well. Okay, I remember.
Hate, dude. Street Fighter 5 took Excellent Adventures away from me. It was like, dude, you know what's crazy? Actually, hold on. I'm just connecting the dots now. I know what it's like, dude. I'm here now. I've grown and gone on my own human adventure, and I can understand. When I was a fan watching Street Fighter 5 and I was watching Excellent Adventures, they were a big Street Fighter channel, and they would do most all fighting games, but mostly Street Fighter 4. And it was clear they just loved Street Fighter 4. 5 came out, and watching it was like, it was like watching people like try to pretend that their marriage is okay, dude. It's like, dude, you guys fucking hate this shit. Don't pretend. Like, And there was like rebellion in the comments. It was like, we hate it. No, we like it. Keep playing it. No, we hate it. And they just didn't do anything else. They did no other kind of content. And eventually their relationship just broke up and died over Street Fighter V. Oh, nobody can relate to this right now. There's probably like 3 people listening that are like, dude, I was fucking there for it too. Holy shit. Dude, it was like, basically, Nano, imagine like if you were only a Sparking Zero video channel and that short 7 months where everybody's hype, everybody's loving it, things can't be any better, and then now today people hate it and they think if you like it you're like you're chilling out
liquor.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like all of this together, but it's a 2-person channel and one guy is like, no, it's fine, I like it, you know, it's whatever, it's the new stuff, and then the other guy is a hater. It was like a fucking, it was like watching a train crash in slow motion. Holy shit, it was horrible. I hate Street Fighter 5.
Damn. I just looked it up. Were you aware that Dims was involved in the development of that game?
I was, yeah. I think their little logo showed up when you launched it.
Got it.
Also, one thing I do want to add, Street Fighter V did eventually get better. Like, I think it became a pretty decent game by the end. It had a large cast, multiple ways to play the character. So I'm not hating on late Street Fighter V. I would say, like, once Kage got in the game, you know, things started looking up from there. Then they added in Alex. But like I don't know, it's a very I fucking wound myself up, dude. I fucking hate that game. Anyway, kind of connects to Sparking Zero now.
Is, well, real quick, I gotta ask, is Street Fighter like your favorite fighting game series? Is that why you're so passionate about it?
Not, I mean, Dragon Ball FighterZ technically would be my favorite franchise, but it's a one game. But out of the basics one, out of the like, dude, main fighting game, I
gotta,
say,
I
gotta, yeah,
be honest, I respect how like crazy of a stan you are for FighterZ. Like, it's beyond just the Dragon Ball IP. Like, you just love that game, huh?
No. If Dragon Ball FighterZ was legitimately not Dragon Ball, well, obviously I'm saying, I love the way FighterZ played, and I love what it did. Obviously, the IP was a huge part of why I got into it. But yeah, no, it was awesome. It was sick.
Man, all right.
Well, they got to update the game, bro. Bring it back. Please. All right, now go ahead. Sorry. I always got to beg.
It is still just literally lost stonks, lost everything. It's like crazy that they can't come to some sort of like amicable standpoint. I don't know if that was the right way to say that, but with
amicable. Well, I mean, it was, I think it was a good word.
But like with, you know, with ArcSys, even if ArcSys aren't the main devs, like all the time, we're literally this week, Oblivion just came out, and like Bethesda, I think, oversaw the development, but it wasn't actually Bethesda developing that game in Unreal Engine 5. It was Visionary, I think, or something like that. But like, I feel like they could have another respectable team develop Super Fighters or Fighters 2 or whatever you want to call it, and have like ArcSys just oversee it, so they're not like taking away their entire dev team to make it. I don't know, dude. I think
it'll always be, and I'm not gonna lie, here's what I imagine happened, right? And again, I have no fucking information about this at all.
Virtuous, by the way. Virtuous is the developer of the Oblivion remake. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
They did a pretty good job. I'm playing that game right now. Played it for a video. Pretty sick looking game. Cannot tell a lie. Anyway, back to Dragon Ball. I think it's always good, because I always thought it was crazy, right? I genuinely think Dragon Ball FighterZ was too good to exist in this. And humans can't create something so pure, okay? Corporate greed. My mind tells me, Nana, why the fuck would I, a game company that makes a fighting game called Guilty Gear, where our whole pitch is that it looks really cool, we have this anime look, and it looks this good, and we want people to be excited for our fighting game, why would we sell out, go any more than, other than publicity, which I think they got it, so it's good, why would they go and make Dragon Ball FighterZ so when they're at game conventions, at fighting game tournaments, players are like, boo, Guilty Gear, we want fighters! We want fighters, boo this shit! And it's like, dude, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why are we our own competition? And then the only thing I could see, and this is why I will always blame Bandai for this, is in my head, this problem is always solved with money. And the enough money truly makes the world go around, but there's no way, there's no shot Bandai couldn't just give them more money and get it done. But they just don't see it as worth it, or... Again, maybe ArcSys doesn't see it as worth it, which I could kind of get, but...
Could you imagine what a Super Fighters would look like with everything they've, like, probably learned with the animations? So, like, how good Strive looked. And that Strive is already, what, 4 years old now?
I will say, though, I don't really like the way Strive looks. Obviously, it looks great, and I like the animation, and it objectively is, like, really cool. I don't like the way the lighting is so impactful on the characters. Mm. I like that flat 2D look. Like I think Exard looks cooler to me. Not as high graphical fidelity wise, but it looks cooler to me than Strive. But yes, dude, I think it would be fucking crazy. Because nowadays, I'm not going to lie, you start to look at fighters and you can see a bit of the age, right? Like you can see like some lines are maybe a little jittery looking, maybe a little out of place. Nothing crazy.
No, but, I was about to say that game is slightly timeless because of the style that they went with it, for sure.
I definitely think it is timeless. Like 20 years from now, fighters will still look. It's kind of the same thing as, I think I was talking to a friend about this. I don't think it was you. It could have been. But you know the Storm series, Naruto, you've been playing through it?
Yeah.
One thing that I think I could ask you, I'll just ask your opinion on this before I go to my main point. Do you feel... I don't know how to ask without being obviously fucking biased towards what I'm trying to get you to say. But basically my point, I'll just give my point and you can give me your opinion. I think when Storm 1 came out, because of the style and the tech they had, the fucking graphical like leap they started with was insane. I remember being a kid and seeing Storm on my friend's like PlayStation. I was like, holy shit, dude. Are you playing the fucking anime right now? What the fuck is that? It was the best looking game I had ever seen. But then I feel like it basically is just the style, right? Like, I feel like Storm 4 to Storm 1 is not that crazy. It's a good jump, but it's not that crazy. It just, like, hit a wall, basically.
I've not played Storm 4, but I will say, like...
But, like, Storm 2.
I'm on record. Dude, yeah. So, I'm on record, like, I could not believe how good Storm 1 looked, which I started with the PC version, and then there was some weird tearing when I was trying to capture it, so I swapped to the PS4 version of the game. And Storm 1 looked great. But then when I went to Storm 2, I was like, wait a sec, dude. Because the leap from Storm 1 to Storm 2 actually is pretty substantial. And I don't even play that much of Storm 2. I've only seen barely 5 ultimates in that game. But that game is beautiful. And I was like, wait, I had to look it up. And that game's from like 2011. I'm like, this game's like 14 years old? Like, what? I didn't get to spend...
Storm 2,
I guess it's been like remastered for the PS4, but still, dude, like it, mostly those are just probably like frame rate unlocks, maybe, and maybe a bit of polish, but for the most part, I'm still seeing it the way it was. Yeah, that game is crazy how pretty it is, like genuinely.
Yeah, Storm 2. I was thinking this too. I think I was talking all of this about my friend because I saw a video. It's like Storm 2, the anime game that was perfect. I definitely think the love for Storm 2 is definitely a lot of nostalgia, because I feel like every Storm got better fighting wise, maybe not story mode or anything, but fighting wise, I feel like it's a series of iterations, right? Like it just got better and better to me, except maybe Connections pushed it a little far. Not going to lie. It kind of got a little crazy, but even that, I would prefer being a little crazy over a little dull. I just think it's funny the way people talk about Storm 2, like the series fucking fell off and died after it. But dude, Storm 2, when you boot that shit up, Nano, just know you're fucking living in somebody else's culture, bro. That song that plays when you start the game up, and like even the game cover, bro. When we talk about game cases, I always imagine the Storm 2 game case. It's Sage Mode Naruto and Sasuke like back to back. I'm pulling it up just so I could see it again.
I'll just say I don't know what it looks like because again, I'm playing on this collection, so I don't actually, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, look at this shit. I'm just gonna post this in the Discord real quick. Like I said, Sage Mode Naruto and Sasuke back to back. Is that spoilers for you? It's the design of the characters.
I guess it is technically, yeah.
Nah, then I'll save it. Even though, kind of crazy that I don't know how you launched the game without seeing it.
But I definitely have seen this. I just haven't really paid like extra attention to it or anything. Nah, anything of that nature.
Then we'll leave it at that, just for the most pure experience. But. Yeah. So, great game.
We are going to talk about the Sparking Zero DC, which, by the way, we played bonus content. You can watch me and Dotto actually, like, my first time using any of these characters, fighting Dotto in Dragon Ball Sparking Zero by becoming a key member by clicking join here on YouTube.
Nano, or, I'll just say it. It's a little embarrassing, so I want to get it out of the way. Nano beat my fucking ass in this video, so.
Or you can go to patreon.com/keymoments to support us over there. And, of course, you get more than just the access to that. You get bonus podcasts. Reactions to Daima, reactions to Dragon Ball Z, at least as far as we're up to on Dragon Ball Z, and many other videos available over there by, you know, supporting the podcast and becoming key members. Dotto, what are your thoughts on this second DLC pack with characters?
I can't remember if it was in the bonus or at the very beginning of this podcast. Oh, no, it was in the podcast. Part of it is a little, like, underwhelming because they are just the kid versions, and it's mostly, like, half the goddamn DLC is Vegeta, which I understand as I enjoyed the Super Saiyan 3 episode, but it feels a little loose. I think the brightest spot to me is either Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta himself, like, the transformation, all that, or my answer, Super Saiyan Goku. I like that each skill is, like, a little mini movie that's fast but looks good. But other than that, it's just more... It's more Sparking Zero, man. It doesn't change the game up. That's the whole thing, man. It just doesn't change the game up. So honestly, it doesn't do anything for me. It's like fun to check out the characters, and then like, cool, they're another character. It's cool to see how they look officially. Because honestly, like, I see new characters and mods all the time, but like the animations are a bit better when made officially. That's about it. That's all I get from it.
Interesting. Okay. Now I do know that we talk about, like, obviously we wish they had maps and we wish they had this, we wish they had that, but how much do you think maps would actually I'm not trying to be a Bandai bootlicker right now. I think we should get maps. I think it's crazy. The maps are not included, but in your overall, like, I'm going to come back and play this game. How much more do you think being able to fight in like Demon Realm 2 and Demon Realm 3, how much do you think that would add to your replayability? Like, do you think you would actually play it more just because those maps were there? Or do you think it would just generally add to your overall experience when you came back to try those characters for the few times?
It just adds to the experience. It would not at all be on my mind like, oh shit, that new map is so good, I gotta go play Sparking Zero right now. That's just I'm not afraid to say it, dude. That's not where I'm at as a gamer. Call it brain rot or whatever. Like, I'm either looking for right now, well, specifically right now, I'm actually getting really high quality single player experience. Like, personally, I'm playing Death Stranding, Cyberpunk, and I'm thinking about adding Oblivion to that list. I can't even lie to you. And that's just in my free time. Oblivion I'm recording, I guess. So Cyberpunk I'm also recording, but more in the background kind of thing. And then when I stream, Kazan's an option. And then so I'm not looking for party games, but when I do play party games, I want it to be a little more spontaneous, I guess. So Sparking Zero is not like super on my radar. I think it's fun. I just think I play it too much for like when new characters come out. That's when I'll get hype. I'll play it and I'll be like, yeah, all right. I got to warm up. Let me get back into it. And then I'll move on again. That's all Sparking Zero is to me. And I think that's all it could ever be to me, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I just, like, it's okay for this game to be that, though. Like, there's nothing, like, I don't personally think there's anything wrong with this. I think the only time that I sort of, like, again, I think DLC maps should be included.
I mean, that's not even a question, bro.
So I went to the Steam page because I just wanted to see how much they're charging for this pack. Because it is technically three less characters from our previous pack. So right now, as far as DLC characters goes, we have 8 from this pack and 11 from the other pack. So we're sitting at 19 total characters available from the 2 DLC packs that we've had. So now that you're looking at 3 less, so the previous pack, when you didn't buy the season pass, which is $35, was $17.99, which again, I thought was really steep. And I get it. It is so weird. We had this discussion already. They are separate characters. They do have separate moves. But at the end of the day, like you said, Vegeta Mini is literally, like, factually half of this pack, which is crazy. Like, he really is. Like, he takes up 4 of the 8 slots. And so, yes, he has different moves. Yes, he has different stuff. But when you're buying DLC, it feels a bit worse than when you're including those as different characters in the base game. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, I agree. I'll just come out and say it now. You're tiptoeing around it. They're not different characters, bro. Vegeta through Vegeta Super Saiyan 3 is one fucking character. It's not a different, like, guy to me at all. I've never seen it that way. I get it's technically different and they work on them and the animations are more in depth than they used to be, but I know that the average everyday guy sees it as like, damn, I really just paid for this shit for Vegeta, the ability for my Goku Daima to go Super Saiyan, and then Glorio, Pansy, and Ku. Like, that's crazy.
So by the time this is live, you guys will be able to see it. But so I don't want to focus too much on this. How much do you think they charge for this pack? I'm thinking $14.99.
I'm thinking whatever the last one was again.
You think they'll charge $17.99 again? How are they going to justify it? Because Goku has
Oh my god, dude, that is so much fucking money, dude.
There's no
that
way.
Is
That's
so
why I think
that is so much fucking
three
money,
less
dude.
Characters. I think it will be less unless somehow they're like, yeah, but we included a costume change for Goku Mini. Which there is a costume for Goku Mini, which, by the way,
which is just the same.
You have to change the costume when you select that character if you're going to go base, because if you don't change the costume, you can't go Super Saiyan. It does,
and they're all
moves.
Only voiced in Japanese.
I was gonna bring it up. So I did also pull up the Steam page because I just wanted to see, like, we're kind of in a bubble right now. I'm just talking to Dotto. I haven't really talked to many other people about this DLC, so I just want to see how other people felt. So the top review right now on Steam is from CockRock100.
Thank you, CockRock100.
This was posted 2 days ago. So why did they delay it if there's no new stages or game modes, not even dub voices? What happened, Bandai? Didn't you say after JJK Curse Clash that you'd focus on quality? Where'd the quality go? This game's dying and the Bleach game isn't going to last either. Please do something before we all lose hope. So a bit, as someone who just made a video that probably didn't help, I guess, with takes like this, if you just looked at it, you didn't actually watch and listen to what I said. But I just don't think this game is just not meant to be your game. That is your game for the next like year and a half. And this is the only game you play at night. Like I
just don't think, but my thing with that is I don't think anybody's wrong for wanting that. That's just what the customer wants with games nowadays. Or to people, I think it's literally either that, like it has to be my game that I play or I grind. And if I don't, it's dead to me.
Would you want a battle pass a game like this, though? Like, would you want some type of...
No, I'm saying I don't, but I think they need to do something to... They have to do something like that to keep players invested. It doesn't have to be a battle pass, but it has to be like... Well, I guess it kind of does. It has to be a reason for people to keep coming back, leveling up, getting all the parallel quests or whatever. Like, people want to pour time into something, and that's pretty much it. I genuinely think that.
Did you happen to watch my video?
No, not yet. I do still want to watch that, though.
So one of my arguments is literally for Xenoverse. I'm not a super big Xenoverse head. I never have been. And I've been very open about that. CACs don't really do a lot for me for the most
part. That's crazy. That's insane.
I know. And maybe one day that will. And it's really more of a Dragon Ball thing. And maybe Sparking Zero is maybe making me almost change a little bit on that, because growing up, I just wanted to play as Goku. I want to play as Vegeta. I want to play as Gohan. You know, I want to play as these characters. But now that we've had Sparking Zero, I'm like, so my buddy Slay brought up a good point that adds to the whole longevity of this. Once you've played these characters and you've played all 182 characters, the characters you care about, and you've played them enough, there does come to a point where there's no customization, because there is no customization in this game, right? Like this mini Goku is actually kind of cool, because there is customization in that way.
Not really. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not even giving them that much props. The costume doesn't really change much, does it?
But I mean, it changes. He's able to use Ki Blast instead of using his Power Pole with his.
Yeah, and then he can get his ultimate. But I'm just saying the costume itself, like the clothes he's wearing, are still the same.
Yeah, but I just mean from like at least changing up your battle, because like in Xenoverse 2, you can go in and fight one day, and the next day, I mean, you could rematch. And I've changed my character completely. Right, he goes into a different form. He has all types of different. What do they call them? PP. What are they called in Xenoverse 2 that you can like?
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
Q bang or whatever.
Yeah, Q bangs. Yeah. Anyway, like there's so much more customization, and the thing with it is you just said it too, and this is one of my things I built to in my video, is basically like there is the parallel quest, and so they'll be like, okay, here's this new move, but guess what? Go farm it. You have to go farm it. It's a drop, and so like you, instead of hopping on and like us playing with these characters for a bit for, you know, to check them out, there's let's go farm this up because I want to add this to my CAC and I want to like change up my CAC's moves. That is unironically a pretty successful way to incorporate some type of sort of live service feel to a Dragon Ball game. Like I it's crazy, but they kind of sort of maybe cracked the code to some extent with Xenoverse on how you can like provide replayability and longevity without it being like, here's a battle pass, here's all these very typical things you see in games that want to like keep your attention. And with Sparking, well, once you play these characters, you've kind of seen the game, right?
I mean, yes, but another problem with Sparking is playing one. If you play one character, you've seen the game. They all play exactly the same, so that doesn't. I don't think that even matters.
You just triggered so many people.
It is true though. It's literally the same shit. It's always the same shit with minor differences, and then basically. What you're looking for is, I'm just going to play the character that has the same stuff and then pick the strongest tool set, like After Image Strike back in the day, or unblockable ultimates mixed in with Ki Blast like Broly. Like, that's it. What I wanted to say is, one, I feel the same way you do. Like you said, like, I want to play as Goku, not my custom character. For me... my brain has the same conclusion, but I have reached it in a different way. I was like, why? Like, one thing I think they did really smart with Xenoverse is I'm not going to lie. Rhyme and Dion and all of you Xenoverse heads that actually play the characters blew my fucking mind when I first got into YouTube and started doing videos with those guys. Because before that, me, my friends, everybody we knew is like, why the fuck are they selling me DLC packs? I'm going to play as me, dog. I'm not playing as fucking Joe Schmo. But the way they get you is like, if you buy the pack, you get them as masters, and then you unlock their moves for you.
Yeah.
So it still kind of works out as DLC. But so for me, building a custom character, you're right. It completely, to me, my old friends, everybody that I played with, eliminates the cast as selectable options. The character selecting screen in Xenoverse might as well be one fucking button for me. I'm picking Macchiato in this case. It used to just be me, like my name with Super Saiyan in front of it. But, that's it. Like, that's all I'm going to do. And that's all my friends are going to do. So I think it worked pretty well back in the day. It's just like a thing to go grind, a thing to level up on, a thing to do all that. I think it especially worked in a yearly cycle. Like, Xenoverse 2 came out mad fast. So that one summer of Xenoverse 1 was crazy. But I think that stuff just allows you to build and do so many different quests and do all these different things. One thing I'll also say, bro, because I've been watching Dion get jumped on Twitter because he said...
Yeah, I saw the tweet.
I'll say it right now. The most obvious fucking take in existence. If you're coming to me and you're telling me Xenoverse or Fighters, even I'm going to tell you Xenoverse, because to most Dragon Ball fans, that is just the correct choice. Xenoverse 2 is the best casual Dragon Ball game ever made, will ever be made. Casual, not in a crazy way. But I will also say, when Dion's like, I think Xenoverse more interesting competitively, I'm not going to lie. Like, to me, that's also crazy. Like, Xenoverse 2 is made for 3v3 friend battles where all of you are running around fucking attacking whoever gets in your way. And I think it's so good when you do that. Rhyme and Dion yell at me when I fucking jump in on their fights in Xenoverse. And I always do it, and it makes me laugh because I'm like, bro, that's what the game is, dog. Like, you messed up my combo. Nah, bro, we combo together, dog. That's us. Like, I don't know. So I just wanted to jump in and say, Dion is objectively fucking correct, bro. Xenoverse versus Sparking Zero is the most like crazy shit I've ever heard.
In case they haven't seen the tweet, I guess go ahead and like give them.
Yes. He just said like, in my opinion, it's been enough time, which, you know, he's being a nice guy there. He's adding, it's been enough time to, like, I don't know, soften the blow. Bro, this has been a day one, like, fact, day negative 60. He said, in my opinion, actually, let me just read it word for word. I don't want to, if we're going to do this shit, let's do it for real. Yeah, you know, let's be report.
Accurate reporters here.
Yeah, podcast guys. Enough time has passed. To me, bro, this guy was playing softball with the internet. To me, in all caps, XV2 greater than Sparking. You can't argue. I ran away already, as depicted below. Sorry. So throws in another joke.
Did he not say early, though? I think he said early XV2, right? I think he said early XV2. Am I crazy?
In this tweet, he just says XV2, or at least that's what I can say.
Oh, I think he maybe later. I think he maybe later added onto it and said like early.
Like, yes. No. Like he does go on to later add more things because like people started arguing with him and he's going in, and then he's like, you know, talking more about it, but. I just, bro, I don't know why. I literally hate softball stuff with internet opinions. Like, bro, Xenoverse 2 does more for casual Dragon Ball fans than Sparking Zero. That has always been true. It has a lot more depth. It has a lot more you can do. It has so many different play styles, things you can, like, you can play with friends. By the way, I'm saying all this. When Sparking Zero came out, I gave it a perfect 10 out of 10 rating. Which now, you know, I'm like tilting my head at because people really do hate it. So I have to wonder, like, am I really saying it? But like,
I still think Sparking Zero is a fantastic game, by the way. I just want to point that out.
It's just like, I'm not going to lie. The internet response nowadays has poisoned my mind a little bit. Not because I'm like, they're convincing me. But like, maybe I should take into account more of like what the modern landscape of gaming looks for. But to me, Sparking Zero is exactly what Budokai Tenkaichi 3 was in a higher fidelity. Like, really, the only problem with it now is that because of what I do for a job, I've had to learn too much of it. I had to play too much of it. Back in the day, I used to say, I love BT3. BT3 is one of my favorite games. I would play that shit for like an hour every other week with my friend. Same. Like, maybe sometimes. And that's how I played it. And if you asked me, I was like, I fucking love that game. Maybe I'll play it offline sometimes. But, like, that's just the way I interacted with games back then was so different. Like, I would probably go, yo, Sparking Zero is P. Like, if I was just working at KFC still and I played Sparking Zero every now and then, but then I can't say that because I would be in today's atmosphere. Like, I would be like, damn, I spent $70 on this shit that I play for 1 hour every 3 weeks, dog. It's like, it hits different. I don't know. Like, so I don't know where I stand with Sparking Zero and what I would rate it. But
I see the thing about that is, though, I don't know. I can't agree with that take because as someone that platinumed it and would have platinumed it, whether I did this or not, like, I'm not going to like sit here almost seven months later and be like mad because I spent $70 on a game that I put like 100 hours into, got the platinum on, and so what if I don't play it anymore? I don't play a ton of games. I spent $70 on.
You're completely right.
I got my entertainment value out of it. When I see that argument so much, I'm like, okay, so if I went and watched Sinners last weekend, I would have probably got a small popcorn, maybe would have got a bottle of water, you know, just to support. I used to work in a movie theater, so just to like support them instead of like sneaking shit in. And with two tickets, and that would have probably been like $33-$35, something like that, for a 2 hour experience. I could double the money and have a 20-30 hour experience in, I don't know, let's say God of War 2018. And like, I'm not playing God of War 2018 anymore. I may never play that game ever again, but I'm not like, I don't know why it gets brought up so much with the sparking people. So I guess because it's a fighting game, maybe. But I'm not,
it's
like,
it's just different expectations. It literally is online.
Yeah, I'm not going to Twitter, and I'm not going like, fuck, man. Why did back in 2018 I spend $70 on God of War 2018, and like, I don't even touch that game anymore, bro? Like, I don't know, dude. That's not like, it's like, just to be devil's advocate on that opinion of Sparking Zero. Like, if you played that shit a shit ton back in October of 2024, and like, that was all you and your homies did for like 3 weeks, and now you're like, man, dude, I hate that I spent that money on it. Like, was that 3 weeks of entertainment with your friend? I get you could have, the game landscape has changed, as Dotto said. You could have been playing a free-to-play game like Fortnite or Valorant or all these other shits, but like, if you guys had fun for those 3 weeks, so what if you're not touching it anymore? You like, I guarantee you, you've wasted money in other ways, like infinitely, well, more, yeah, than just on the Sparking Zero. Yes. That provided with that all that content. I don't know, dude. I think
Nano, your take is, I think your take is correct. In a, if we were a higher plane of people, if we were like aliens, I think your take is objectively correct. I just think humans, like, because you're right. Like, I'm looking at right now, I have 132 hours on Sparking Zero on my PC version. I guarantee you, I had maybe 30 hours on BT3, maybe. And I'm being generous as fuck. And I talked about that game like it was the second coming of Christ, bro. Like, it was my everything. It was my, I played that shit for fun. I had less hours on Xenoverse 2, and I'm talking, or Xenoverse 1, and I'm talking to you like, I fucking, bro, I damn near perfected it. I remember grinding it every day, but it's just, like, time moves differently nowadays, bro. It's just, it's like 130 hours is it what it used to be. I think it's literally just human expectation. Like, and I gotta say, I say this every time we talk about this game, it's like, when the game was coming out, you saw, I'm sure, everybody talking about, like, I'm taking souls in this game, bro. This is going to be my game. Yeah. It's going to be my game. It's like, bro, it ain't that kind of game, bro. It ain't that kind of game, bro. And obviously, you know, join in for the jokes, because it is that kind of game. You're supposed to talk about it with your friends. But in the current gaming culture, and I love this, by the way, I hate skill-based matchmaking argument motherfuckers that are like, take it out of games, it's ruining games. I hate it. I think you should play games and you should want to compete, and being competitive is good. But it is also true that motherfuckers on the internet will compete, dude. They have every resource to learn, study, they have more time than you, and they will beat you. And they should beat you. They put more time in and worked harder at it. But that does not change the fact that Joe Schmo buying Sparking Zero and getting online, getting his ass whooped, is going to be like, all right, dog, like, I guess I should leave, you know? This probably ain't my game. So I think it's just a culture thing. I think the single player is a little bit single player was ass. I thought that, bro, when we first saw Sparking Zero for the first time, I was like, oh, people are going to be mad at this shit. This is kind of ass. What ifs were cool.
I thought custom battles was going to be so cool, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I thought so too. And they are still kind of cool, especially like when I combine mods. It's something I still do. But the thing is, Nato, as soon as, I think we were over at Bandai for that thing and we were looking at it, I was like, oh, so can you like write in whatever? No. I was like, and it's dead. Yeah. I was like, and it's dead.
I guess what confused me about that too was Sean was on record saying they recorded like almost 100 hours of lines for this game. And I was like, oh shit. So then when they were predetermined, I thought they were at least still going to be voiced. I thought they were going to be voiced.
That's
just like
also
lines
huge. To be fair though, Sean does voice Goku and he's in this game like a million fucking times.
That's true. Fair.
I could easily see, like, I don't think he lied. I think he probably genuinely voiced his fucking ass off.
I'm not saying he lied. I'm just saying, like, I guess.
Yeah, you overestimated.
Custom battle voice line. So, one thing I wanted to do with you, real quick, unless you had more to add on that.
Nah.
Can we predict the final DLC characters, at least for what's announced? I think we talked about this in our previous episode. I think Sparking has at least another round of DLC. I still don't think, regardless whether there's a Sparking 1 or whatever there is, I don't think this is a game that, like, you're getting DLC for this game for the next 10 years like Xenoverse. And even more so, what fucking characters are they even going to put? Like, I don't think there's 10 years worth of DLC content for them to even derive characters from, unless the anime were to come back with Moro and shit like that. And even then, I think you just make a new game. And then Moro and UI Goku are like on the cover art, right?
Yeah, no, I think they're pretty much, I think legitimately, I think the next DLC is the end. Do you not think so?
I think there could be one more round of DLC.
Well, what was in the season pass? Is this the last one on the season pass?
So no, so that's where we get into. So the season pass, this is like word for word on Steam and how they announced it, is when you buy the season pass, they don't tell you the exact amount, but they say the Dragon Ball Sparking Zero season pass includes 3 DLC packs for a total of more
than
20 playable characters from the Dragon Ball Super Superhero Movie and Dragon Ball Daima. So right now, Dotto, we have 19. And since they said more than 20, that means there can't be any more than 29, because they would have said 30 playable characters or more than 30. So that means this 3-pack of DLC, this season pass that you can buy for $34.99, I just now realized originally, Dotto, so you know they, I guess they have to say when the DLC packs are coming now as part of Steam's like update. Like they have to give a general guideline. So right now it said that Sparking Zero DLC 3 was supposed to release April to June of 2025. That has a strike through it, and it says July through September of 2025. So either way, there's 19 characters currently from DLC. That means at most there's 10 more characters. That means like the literal most they can add, because there's no way they're going to give us more characters without wanting to charge us more money. So there is at most 10 more characters. Do you think we can predict the 10 characters?
I think very easily you could predict the 10 characters, but also what I'm interested in and what I'll just say right now is I would bet money. I'd bet a good amount of money. I'm talking like $1,000. I'd make that bet and feel pretty safe about it. I think after DLC 3, like, we're probably wraps. Like, it's just done.
Okay.
They promised 3 DLC packs. They're going to fulfill their legal obligations and get the fuck out.
How much are you putting on a sequel?
That's interesting. I think that's more likely than we get another DLC thing. I just don't know what they would do in a sequel.
Here's my thing with a sequel. And, like, why... I don't know. I'm not trying to like get up on a high horse here and act like I understand a lot about development. I don't. I've never developed a game. I have no idea what all goes into developing a game, and especially a game that is a licensed game, right? There's more hoops you have to run through. Like everything has to be approved through, I'm sure, some sort of committee. Like adding Pansy as a DLC character probably had to go through an actual committee. They had to approve her moves. They had to approve her animations. Like I'm sure there's all kinds of shit you have to do when going through a licensed game. Anyways, all that to say, now that the game is built and now that it exists, do you know how much more like easier it is to make a sequel? Like it's infinitely easier. You just polish up some moves, you polish up some stuff like this. But I think the things you would look for in a sequel, Dotto, are things like crossplay, right? They've heard that. That's probably been one of the biggest feedbacks they've probably seen across the board for this game. Things like co-op, stuff like that. So I think that's what you build on. And the what ifs, right? Now that their development team isn't just working on building out character models and all these supers and shit like that, and that's how we got, you know, BT1, BT2, and BT3 released in succession, right? It was 2005, 2006, 2007. Of course, that's when games were easier, lower polygon counts. Like it was just way easier to pump out games back then because they were simpler. But or I think they were. Again, I might be talking out my ass here. But all that to say, I think a sequel, because then they can charge you $70, makes way more sense. And I also think when Bandai probably greenlit Spike, you know, paying Spike Chunsoft to make this game, there's probably some deal in there where Spike Chunsoft is probably committed, kind of like, you know, reaching out to Chris Evans, like, all right, man, we need you to come back and be in Marvel. We're going to sign you to a 3-movie deal, right? They're not signing Chris Evans on for one more movie. They're signing him on for probably 3 or 4. They probably signed Spike on to make multiple games because it is cheaper for them to publish 3 games off of the same engine, the same all this from the same developer than it is to have Gunbarian, or how you say their name, develop what is the game called? Project Multi, you know, and have CC2 develop more Kakarot DLC and have, you know what I mean? It makes sense for there to be sequels. It is cheaper for them to be able to pay Spike and lock Spike in to make sequels on a game that has now had their foundation built. So I think you focus on new what if stories, you focus on maybe expanding custom battles, maybe you kill custom battles if the feedback was like nobody was playing that shit, so let's put this effort into you know, a legendary raid boss mode or something like that. Like,
yeah, I definitely think it makes sense. I think it makes more sense, like business sense, to do that for sure. I think it'll be interesting to see how the internet responds to that, considering the like hating Sparking Zero, it's gotten to the dangerous point of where it's just funny. Like, it's just the meme to do it.
Oh yeah. I literally see it all the time.
I see it all the time. Like, not even on Twitter. Yes. Like, this is not Twitter. I'm talking more like shorts feed.
Yep.
It's just funny, and it is funny. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've laughed at a lot of them.
I think people would.
So I think it's in a dangerous position. I think maybe I think if they added multiplayer battles like Tenkaichi Tag, I think that would get people to lock back in. I also think that would add the party element that's like sorely missing from a overall party game. So that's the stuff. I don't know, dude. I hope they do it. If they do, the only thing I'd really be interested in seeing is either a completely new revitalized story mode that's like really crazy and cool, and even then I wouldn't really want that because that's going to last 2 days. I would want just that multiplayer stuff. More multiplayer elements in the engine.
And I'm telling you, me and you, or you and the three idiots, or whoever, being able to go online in 2v2s and 3v3s, like, that is interesting. Like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, but then I'm thinking, if I'm Bandai, why the fuck am I not just making Xenoverse 3 and getting a real bag off this shit?
I mean, you say real bag, but I'm sure Sparking Zero still sold over 5 million copies, 3 million of which were sold within the weekend. This is still a gold mine.
I know, but I don't think it's that gold mine anymore. I think this was the clickbait YouTube video of video games. Not even like I'm not even saying they did it intentionally. I think this was the one time you could use. I think basically what I'm saying is people know now. They're like, oh, yo, BT3's back. Damn, I just bought Budokai Tenkaichi. Like, that was it. Like, I don't think people are buying this again for the same reason. It would have to be basically a different game. If you called it Sparking Tag, or maybe not, honestly, I might drop Sparking entirely. I think I would legit just move off the title. You can keep the same engine, the same look, but just like kind of like Elden Ring Night Rain it a little bit.
I don't know, dude. I think if they could deliver, right? Because like what you just said, what else are they going to do, right? We have all the characters, you know? The Super 17 people out there right now are sad because I'm saying we have all the characters. But like, I think you just evolve on that. We're not the developers. We ain't got to worry about that. But I think you evolve. You already have the characters made. You already have the supers. Now you look at making different cool modes. And maybe you do look at it from, and I know some people will hate this, but if you do hate this, then you've still got Sparking Zero, so you ain't got to worry about it. But you do look at, like, how can we make this not live service, because we don't want to be committed to this, like, to that level, but how can we add some of those live service elements that will get people interested in wanting to play this? I don't know. I think one of the reasons Xenoverse 2 sold so well is because it also, and the reason why it hit 10 million sales by itself, is because it was the only Arena Fighter Dragon Ball game for 8 straight years. We went from getting Arena Fighters like almost yearly to then Xenoverse 2 launched. We didn't get a game in 2017. We got Fighters in 2018. We didn't get a game in 2019. We got Kakarot in 2020. And then we got no game in 2021. We got Breakers in 2022. No game in 2023. And then we got Sparking in 2024. Like, Xenoverse 2 probably sold so well from just like continually being like, if somebody wanted to play a Dragon Ball game, they're like, what's the newest Dragon Ball game? Oh, it's Xenoverse 2.
I know. I genuinely think, and obviously I'm a Fighters guy, I'll always jokingly say Fighters. I will never understand why there is not a Xenoverse 3 already. That is their moneymaker franchise. That is the way you get into the... That is the game. They found the formula. By some grace of God, Bandai found the formula for a modern-day Dragon Ball game, and they refuse to farm it hard. Like, not even... They'll milk it, but they don't want to farm it, bro. They don't want to get in there and actually do some shit that would change... Like, the same way Fighters, I think Fighters came into fighting games and actually made an impact. I think Xenoverse is the only way that they can make an impact on the gaming industry now. Like it's like an MMO light. It's like a fucking extraction fighter. It's like you have, this is it. You found the formula, bro. Like, I genuinely, so yes, they'll probably farm Sparking, right? Like, they have to. That makes business sense, but maybe they're good on it. But
I don't see why we can't.
I don't think Sparking is the move for the long term. I think the long term play, the way you get the Fortnite, your live service, your shit, is you gotta come out with Xenoverse 3. Xenoverse 3 is the move eventually.
Dude, not a what?
Sparking. I'll go on record right now. Sparking is the last time killer game. There's no way we get another, like, gaming's changing, bro. This is the last game, surely, of its era. Maybe the spinoffs too, but like. It's got to be a more long-winded approach, surely, right?
I agree. I mean, that I agree with what you're saying, because I think the reason why we're not getting the Battle of Z's and the Ultimate Tenkaichis is because you're right, gaming has changed. Like, they can't just, they would probably lose money off licensing fees and everything else to make a game like that that's only going to sell like a million copies, because people don't want that anymore. We've played, like, how many times can we replay? It's the reason why the story mode is the story mode in Spartan Zero, because they didn't want to remake the story mode because Kakarot exists, right? How many times can we replay this, do this, whatever? That's why they needed to embrace what ifs and they didn't. But what I was about to say is, what if they, if they were really, if they're being so real, Dotto, what they should do is the Call of Duty strat. Hang with me. Everybody hang with me here. And, like, have Dimps make a Xenoverse game 1 year and have Spike Chunsoft make a Sparking game the other year. So it's like Treyarch and Infinity Ward, but it's with Dragon Ball games. And like,
nah, you're I think you're wrong on that, because didn't Call of Duty switch away from that? Like, it's more merged now than ever. Like, they just have the Call of Duty launcher.
Yes.
Like, I
what do you mean?
I think it's legit. Like, that's getting cooked though.
But no, they're still, dude, Dotto, we've not missed a year without a Call of Duty still. What are you talking about?
No, I know they've produced, but I'm just saying, like, at least this might be personal feelings overriding just facts for me, but I think more than ever, getting a new Call of Duty every year is, like, more annoying than it is, like, than it is good. Like, it's just, like, the same shitty UI, the same store, and then it, like, fucks with Warzone. Like, it's hard to have your successful Warzone while you're over here making a new one, because then it replaces the old one, and then it's, like, it's just, like, no, we need, like, a long, or I think it's heading in the direction of eventually they're just going to, like, keep elements, and maybe they'll keep developing, like, different multiplayer modes. But I don't know. I think, like,
the Call of Duty is still, like, the number one selling game each year, bro. And I get that they're all in the same launcher.
I might be wrong.
I hate that they're all in the same launcher. I think that that's actually ass. Maybe some of you guys that are super purists might disagree. I don't know. I think Call of Duty has definitely, like, lost some of the sauce. The menu alone is so dog shit, bro. Us trying to play, we played some COD for a video the other day, and us all trying to get, like, navigating the menus, the fact people are having to ask how to do that is already a sign of, like, just bad menu design and UI. But I'm not saying they should do that, by the way. I'm just saying, like, that would be, I'm surprised they don't do that. I'm surprised we are not, like, I'm genuinely impressed that in the span of, like, from 2020 until Sparking released, all we got was Kakarot and Breakers. That was it. Those were the only releases of Dragon Ball games, period. And Breakers is still, like, a side game to me. Like,
Breakers is so whatever. Like, that's just that's an experiment.
Yeah,
like,
Dimps just used existing Xenoverse models to create, like, this new cool mode that you, when you're in Breakers, you're just outside the main Canton City. Like, you can literally see the big Shinron thing in the sky. You can see Canton City's island when you're on the Breakers, like, little thing.
Yeah, it's like that's what makes me think, like, they know what gaming is. Like, they can see that it's, like, all supposed to be, like, that to me is, like, you know what Epic would do? It would be on the Fortnite game launcher. You'd boot it up and you would scroll over to play Breakers mode. Like, you wouldn't.
I still can't believe Breakers is not part of Xenoverse.
Like, yes, it's like it's part of Xenoverse, but they just don't know how to do that, and they just don't want to, because Xenoverse wasn't built like that, obviously. But they did it with, like, the card game, the strategy game they have. It's like they're like so close to, like, being able to do it, but they just need to make Xenoverse 3 and get it done. Like, I don't know why all this pussyfooting around. You know, like, it's so clear to me that they tried the strategy game, they tried this shit, they tried the card game in Kakarot. It's like, motherfuckers, just do Xenoverse 3 and make the base you guys so desperately need.
I mean, I think they're fine, right? They're like 5 million copies of setting our game. They're probably laughing at the shorts and the reels and the TikToks.
No, yeah, I don't think that. It's like they don't actually give a fuck. Because it sold, bro. It sold pretty good. I think a sequel to Sparking, that would be, whatever the numbers are for that, that determines everything. Because if it sells, then yeah, bro, just fucking make this shit every year.
I think
it is what it is.
I think it would. All right, let's determine these DLC characters real quick, Dotto. So,
all right, real quick. We're almost at an hour, bro. We have to record a lot of this shit. We should have been gone 15 minutes ago.
Mini.
Let's wrap it up.
Mini SSJ 4. That's got to be a lock.
Yep. And then I'll go Super Saiyan 4. Now you go.
Okay. I've already got these written down, so I'm just moving them down as we say.
Oh, you have them written down.
I wrote down some of these. I'm just going to see if you'll say something. I wouldn't. Goma, there's no way you're doing this pack without the main villain of the whole thing. So Goma has to be there.
What's crazy is He will be, but what's crazy is like I could easily see them not doing it. I'm not even gonna lie.
Well,
but go ahead.
Okay. The next lock then. So here's the crazy part. Again, can't be more than 10 character slots, but we don't have an adult Vegeta and we don't have an adult Goku from Daima. So I feel like those have to be two of the slots.
I think they will be.
So that, okay.
Well,
dude, how else are they going to give us adult SSA 4 and adult SSA 3 if they don't have the adult base forms?
I think Goku will just be Super Saiyan 4 adult, to be honest. Maybe, I don't know. Because they still have to give us mini Super Saiyan 3 Goku, or do they skip that?
All right, so how about this? I'll just read you.
Read your list, and let's see.
So here we go. Let's count these out. So adult Goku, adult Vegeta. So we're at two. Then I've got adult SSA 3 and adult SSA 4. Because unless I'm misremembering the episode, adult Vegeta for sure has moves. Adult Vegeta fought Goma for a bit before he went Super Saiyan 3. But he didn't do a ton as Super Saiyan, right? He just went pretty much Super Saiyan 3 and then actually fought. Anyway, so there's those four. Then you have to have mini SSA 4. And I agree with you. I think you have to have mini SSA 3. So we're at six right now. Then you do Goma. But I think Goma will probably have two characters. But we'll leave him as one for now. Just because we're at seven. And then I think you have to have Do. If you have Ku, you have Do. So that's eight. That is eight of the characters. And that would mean that you might be right. SSA 4 Goku may just be SSA 4 Goku. Like, they may not make an adult version of Goku. But then, Dotto, you don't have the transformation into adult SSA 4, which is, I think, literally half the reason people like that form is the transformation into SSA 4. So that feels like a fumble.
I think it would just be something you can transform into from the... No, I guess not. I guess you're a little bit right on that. Because you didn't even bring up Do Super Saiyan 3. Like, I think that maybe he'll just be a cutscene attack or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume that's going to be part of his moveset. That might even be his ultimate, right? Because, you know, like, with Pansy, they brought in the Kadan stuff. So, like, but I feel like those eight are semi-locks because... I still think it's crazy that we're going to walk away without the Tamagamis. Like, that, like the Tamagamis...
We're not going to get them.
Are half the
Absolutely
story.
Not.
The Tamagamis are half the story. That's what we're building to.
At best, you might get one of your guys cut, and Tamagami 1 will be there, and that's at best. Other than that, we're not going to get them. I don't disagree with your list.
Can you think of one that I'm missing? Maybe more variant, maybe more forms? But
no.
Like,
no. I think Goma will be, too. But actually, I don't know. I have no idea. I think Goku and Vegeta might get cut, low-key. Like adults.
Shut up, dude. No.
It might happen. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense.
So if that happens, then for sure there's more DLC for Sparking. And then on top of that, I know that we go on here and
DLC.
I know people call us meatheads, Dotto, but like it's just the facts, dude. Like, if people could choose between having the adult SSA 3 in game right now or the mini SSA 3 in game, they're choosing the adult one, like, nine times out of ten. If you, right now, Dotto, if you could get rid of the Super Saiyan Goku, which you said is your favorite part of this DLC pack, if you could get rid of him for adult Super Saiyan 4 Goku, are you doing it?
Yes. Okay. That's the dumb... That one's, like, too on the nose. Like, that's just Super Saiyan 4. That's everybody. Just in case people don't think that's everybody, that's literally everybody has that opinion.
So, maybe, dude, what if somehow it's adult SSA 3 and it's mini SSA 4, but no adult SSA 4?
What'd you say?
What if it's mini Super Saiyan 4 and adult SSA 3 Vegeta, but it's no adult Super Saiyan 4 Goku?
No, that's not going to happen.
I just don't see a world where you do two Daima DLC packs and you don't include your penultimate moments, which are mini or adult SSA 3. And adult SSA 4. And then mini SSA 4 Goku, like, has one of the...
I don't think they're that important. I think they might get left off. Or maybe they'll be a costume. Like, they won't transform into it. It will just be adult Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta and adult Super Saiyan 4 Goku.
Okay.
And then mini Super Saiyan 4 Goku. I think that might be it.
Man. No, I genuinely think that's pretty sad, Dotto.
It would be cool to get a Super Saiyan 3 Goku transforming into that, but I don't know. There, it's over, bro. And after this, there's no more DLC, surely.
I think what they might could do is the transformation sequence is just a bit longer. And so it's a base adult Goku, and he goes through the transformations.
Hmm.
That might be how they could do it. Just a thought.
It'll be interesting to see.
It will be, but we're gonna have to wait and find out. And I think right now I hear some music. Donald, do you hear that too?
Yeah, I've been hearing it for a little while now. Yeah, there it is. That's it. I was wondering what that was. Every sailor knows this song.
If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button for us. If you're watching this on Spotify and Apple and you enjoy the podcast, you might leave us a rating. It does help us out. You can support us by going over to Patreon. You can click join here on YouTube. But I think that is the end of the episode. Bye.